The Lord Jesus has such a heart for the poor. And he warns us who are rich. We're not rich, rich, but we're richer than a lot of the people, you know, certainly walking around Washington right now. We have to take care of them. We have to do something for them. And it's worth praying every once in a while, maybe every morning, what should I do for the poor? We have very efficient ways, you know, we can mail a check, we can, you know, do that sort of thing. But it's something to pray about. And when you see, you know, that the fear of some very rich people, they might lose $100 or something, you know. So they're always clinging to this money and trying to find security there. But it's not there. So what see, so what's they're tempted, your wealth is rotted away, your clothes have become moth-eaten, your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have $12 million in the bank, and you die, and there it is. And your relatives will fight over it. And the poor never got any help at all. And that's our Lord's very clear, huh? You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. Now that can happen too. You know, the rich are not too delicate about the way they treat the poor. So that's pretty strong, but we should at least reflect today. Does the Lord want me to give something to the poor? You know, send a check to Catholic Charities or bring some clothes over to the bin there or do something. Because if we don't, we're the poorest of all. And this psalm is supposed to be a help to us, right, today. Fear not when a man grows rich, when the wealth of his house becomes great, for when he dies he shall take none of it. His wealth shall not follow him down. Though in his lifetime he counted himself blessed, saying, they will praise you for doing well for yourself, he shall join the circle of his forebears, who shall never see light again. It's a very salutary warning and help. It always, boy, I don't know about you folks, I get 5 appeals a day in the mail to help, and I do what I can. But it's this heart for the poor. Then our Lord in the gospel is a real preacher. If both your hands, you know, if you're stealing with both your hands, why don't you cut them off or cut one off? And I mean, he's trying to get us to be radical. You know, 50 years from now, if somebody came back to this chapel, the little ones might still be here, but the rest of us would be all gone. And do we listen to the Lord? What he wants us to do? Anyone who gives you a cup of cold water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. That was a game in my family. coming home from Mass, remember we used to have to fast and not drink water? You're not all so young, you can't remember. Maybe you are. I forgot all that was Vatican II, wasn't it? Well, that was 60s, yeah, maybe. So you couldn't drink water even. So when we came home, we would give, you know, the kids, we'd give each other water so we won't lose our reward. This is why we did. Not because the people were thirsty. No, no, I get my reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. In other words, our Lord, this whole warning is, look, sin is serious. Look. Now let me work in your life. Let me teach you how to come to me. Let me teach you how to let me live in you. For the sake of my Father, but also for the sake of all the human beings you're going to meet during your life. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And he goes through all of this. And then he ends. This is a collection of sayings of Jesus that Mark puts together. There's not a treatise. Everyone will be salted with fire. Now, what does that mean? Did you ever try to figure that out? Everyone will be salted with fire. They'll be given back their flavor by turning from sin, you know, accepting the pains and aches of this life, you know, whether they be emotional or mental or spiritual or physical. And then, salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Salt is good for one thing, and if it doesn't do that one thing, it's useless, right? And that's us. Unless we love the Lord and make him known and spread his love and tenderness and knowledge of the Father, we have no taste. Pretty radical, right? And then, this is one that there's always room for another doctorate in this field, you know. Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another. So what salt is that? Well, you have to think about it. Well, it's often salt. Wisdom is often compared with salt. Why? Because salt makes things alive and good and digestible and pleasant. And so does wisdom. That's why.